Well, we're talking Ronnie O'Sullivan out of the 2019 World Snooker Championships. Ken Doherty's on the line. Evening, Ken.
Evening, Joe. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thanks for joining us.
No problem, no problem.
The television producers with their heads in their hands today, I presume.
I presume so. Big shock. Probably the biggest shock that we've ever had in the world of snooker, particularly at this World Championship. I mean, the one before that, you got back as far as, was it 1982 when Tony Knowles beat Steve Davis, the defending champion, 10-1 in that year. But this is not only probably in snooker, but one of the biggest shocks in sport. I mean, you had Ronnie O'Sullivan, probably the best cueist that's ever played the game, best player. And after the season that he's had, winning five tournaments out of only, I think he's only played in 10 tournaments this year. So he's coming in with overwhelming favour for the tournament, never mind with the first round match. Mm. And then you have someone like James Cahill, or Cahill as we would call him back home, an amateur basically, still an amateur, who overturns him. So an incredible shock.
Absolutely. No one saw this coming for obvious reasons. O'Sullivan stormed back to the top of the world rankings for the first time in 9 years. And you mentioned there, he's won five of the events he's entered this season. So he's in a really good place with his game. He's engaged with the sport. He's obviously practicing hard or whatever way. I mean, who knows with him half the time. But that adds to the sense of shock.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, he's probably had one of his best seasons ever. He's picked and chose his tournaments this year. He's played like sublime snooker. He lost in two finals, including those five victories. So he's had an amazing season. And, I didn't think any of the other guys over the longer distance were going to really sort of put it up to him if he played like that. But, you know, with obviously the World Championship and with Ronnie O'Sullivan, you just never know. He hasn't won it now here for 6 years. And I always had a little funny feeling that, you know, it wasn't a foregone conclusion like everybody thought it was going to be, because with Ronnie O'Sullivan, you just never know. In the first session, he was like terrible. It was like that. He was treating the match like an exhibition. Don't know how ill he was. He said he had a bit of a virus. Looked like he hadn't got a lot of sleep. But he played really very, very loosely, very casual. And James Cahill didn't balk at the opportunity. He grabbed the situation with both hands and he played superbly well at the end, you know.
I'm going to come back to that point you make about attitude in a second, but first we might hear from Ronnie O'Sullivan. So again, for people who didn't catch the match or how it went, O'Sullivan trailed 5-4 overnight and then he slipped 8-5 behind, missed lots of simple chances, got back to 8-8, but Cahill took the final two frames and won out 10-8 in the end. Here's O'Sullivan speaking afterwards.
I just felt a little bit under the weather, you know. I feel like my legs are like lead and my arms feel really heavy. I'm not making no excuses. I just felt absolutely exhausted, to be honest with you. And I just tried to do as much as I could, you know. I just tried to hang in there and see if I could manage to somehow get through the match. And a few days off might have felt a bit better. So it wasn't meant to be.
Did you have the flu or is it just a sort of lack of energy from, you know, a busy period?
You can hardly say busy. I mean, if you're comparing people who've been busy, there's been a lot of players that have been a lot busier than I have, and they're feeling okay. So you can put it down to that, or you can just put it down to just one of those things. You know, I think it's just one of those things. Sometimes, you know, you can try and get everything right, but there's some things that are just out of your control, and there's not much you can do. You know,
many people will say this is arguably the biggest shock in Crucible history. Is that how you see it?
Well, you can, you know, if you look down the history of the years, you know, there's been a few, you know, Davis got beat first round. I think Hendry's had a first round. I'm sure John Higgins has. I'm sure Mark Williams has. I have, you know, there's probably been a few results where everybody's expected maybe a certain player just to kind of breeze through. But that's just snooker, isn't it? Sports, where it goes.
It's sort of strange, really, because he's saying, well, I'm not ill, I don't have the flu. It's just one of those things, is almost how he described it. He did say at another point he hadn't slept brilliantly over the past few nights, but yeah. He's basically saying I was, my feet were like lead. On your observation that he was loose and didn't play well at all on the opening day, Alan McManus was looking at it and he was saying like he was taking 15 seconds a shot, which is far too quick, he reckoned.
I don't think I know when you're not well, and like maybe sort of, you know, we know he has troubles and that. He didn't look very well. It looked like he didn't get a lot of sleep.
Right.
You know, he didn't look well in the chair. But even if you're not well, you know, we've all played when we haven't been well before and stuff like that. But it's not that. It's just the attitude when you're playing the game itself and the application of playing the right shots and not sort of treating it as like a sort of an exhibition match. You're playing in the World Championships, you know. You don't go for ridiculous shots like and just treat it like it doesn't matter whether they go in or not. That would be my assumption of the way he played in that first session. Right. And maybe he just sometimes with Ronnie, he's just not up for the fight, you know, and he just didn't look up for the fight. And maybe because of his health, maybe because he felt very, very unwell. And that's his prerogative, you know.
Because Stephen Hendry used the phrase exhibition snooker as well, and he said some of Ronnie's shot choices were very random.
Mm-hmm. Very ragged, you know, very casual. Looked like, you know, sometimes we've seen it before from Ronnie, he looked like he doesn't want to be there. And that's exactly the way he looked in the first session. He tried to get it back today, but sometimes when you, in any sport, if you don't treat it with that, with the full respect and your opponent, it comes back to bite you. And it came back to bite him. He was a little bit unlucky towards the end of the match.
Mm.
But the guy took his opportunity, and sometimes the balls, as we say in snooker, they never forgive you, you know. So he'd be very disappointed, Ronnie, because he came here with a tremendous season, and looked like, you know, he's trying to chase that elusive like 7th World Championship crown. He has 5. Stephen Hendry has 7, and he's trying to match that. He's overcome all of other Stephen Hendry's records, you know, the 1,000 century breaks, 36 ranking tournament wins. But he wants that 7th world title, you know.
Yeah, I mean, if this was a low nothing, you know, kind of a nothing tournament, you might understand him turning up and being a little bit indifferent, especially if he wasn't feeling well. But you would think, given everything you've just mentioned there, the stakes, the stage, that you know, he would just fight through whatever. And especially when his form has been so good, you know, it's not like he's uninterested in the sport. You know, he goes through phases, obviously, and he's a complicated person, and sometimes you wonder how much his heart's in the sport, but that's why it doesn't quite make sense. My question here doesn't make sense either, because I was going to say, could the pressure of chasing all that, of 6 years without a world title, have got to him? But that would almost manifest itself in a different way to what you're describing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, it's not like you can just come to the World Championship and say, yeah, I'm going to peak at the World Championship. It doesn't, you know, life doesn't work like that, you know. You just got to come here and try your best. And because it's the World Championship, and looking in the first session, you know, and maybe overcritical, but looking to me, I don't think he tried his best. You know, I think he was sort of throwing a lot of caution to the wind, and maybe he was hoping that he could just get through this first round match against an amateur and then, you know, have a few days off and maybe feel a little bit better. But, you know, only Ronnie can answer those questions, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an amazing story, really, when you put it in those terms.
It opens the door now for a lot of the other players, you know, who thought that they might have to beat O'Sullivan to win the World Championships. You've got the likes of, you know, Mark Williams, who won it last year, Neil Robertson, Mark Selby, who came through a tough match last night. You've got Mark Allen, who's on tonight. Judd Trump, who's 6-3 behind. He's in trouble in his first round match. You know, all these guys will be sort of, in a way, you know, sort of rubbing their hands saying, OK, Ronnie is out, the best player. Now let's see what the rest of us can do, you know.
And Ken, what do we have on our hands here with James Kyle? Is this guy going to be a superstar, or did he just catch Ronnie on the right day?
He's a good player, you know. I mean, he's not sort of a Ronnie O'Sullivan or a Judd Trump. But at the same time, he played beautifully. He went out there with a smile on his face. He played like he'd been there many, many times. He wasn't afraid of it. He's full of confidence. And I like the way he played. You can't really tell how he's going to do in the foreseeable future. You know, a lot of guys who have beaten like a big seed, you know, created a big shock. And then the next day or the next match, they come out and they haven't reproduced that stuff. You know, they got sort of, I don't know, maybe carried away with it or maybe reached a high and then just, you know, fell over the cliff. But I hope that doesn't happen to James Cahill. He's a lovely lad. He's been on and off the tour. Technically, he's still an amateur, which makes this victory even more huge, like, you know. Mm. So, but I'd like to see him continue on the way he's been playing with the same attitude. And hopefully he will go far. But he's up against a very experienced guy, Steve McGuire, in the next round.
Yeah, that'll be tough. Because, I mean, even just to hold your nerve playing Ronnie O'Sullivan at the Crucible on your debut, I think you played Steve Davis in your debut, and I'm sure you remember, it's not easy. I don't think you got off to the best of starts. Like, it's really not easy.
No, not at all. I mean, I sat there, you know, looking at the scoreboard, looking at my name in lights next to Steve Davis's, and he's sitting beside me. You know, a guy that I watched, you know, in the World Championship all those years, like, as a kid. Like, and I was 4-0 down with it less than an hour. I managed to come back, and eventually I lost 10-8. But, yeah, a lot of players can come here. I mean, we saw, you know, a Chinese boy, Liu Honghao, who came here with a big reputation. He lost 10-0. In the first round, you know, a lot of players, a lot of young players have come and sort of balked, they've been rabbit like in headlights. He hasn't done that. He came here and took the opportunity and grabbed it by the scruff of the neck, and that was very, very admirable. And the way he held himself together in the last couple of frames was fantastic. You know?
Yeah. And on O'Sullivan and his quest to beat Hendry and to win another world title, do you get the sense that his window of time is dwindling? Or is this just a blip and he'll have another 3, 4, 5, 6 good years? I appreciate I'm asking you to go inside his head as much as his physical state, but there's no sense that time is massively against him, or is he running out of time?
Well, I mean, you know, it's amazing. Like, he's 42, 43 years of age. He's played some of his best ever snooker this season.
Yeah.
So who can say that he can't produce it next year, you know, or the year after? He's still, you know, he's still a relatively young man, you know, and as long as he sort of has the desire, and that's the only thing that you sort of question with Ronnie, where he's going to keep the desire and keep that chasing that dream or that quest for 7 world titles, then it's up to him. But as he gets a little bit older, it gets a little bit more difficult, but you just never know with him.
And does it appear to be, I don't know if you've spoken to him about it, is chasing the Hendry world title record a big motivation for him?
I would say that's his only motivation now, you know.
Right.
I would say that is... that's all he wants to now achieve before he eventually retires. But yeah, I'd say that will drive him on, you know, and that's why this defeat will be so sort of detrimental to him. He'll be so devastated by it, and you know, it's just you know, that's just one of those things you just never know in sport.
Well, I guess it means for him he has to wait a whole other year now. He has to keep on top of his game for another year, and suddenly he's counting down the next 51 weeks. That's the killer blow.
Yeah, and of course the press will keep reminding him, and people will keep reminding him, you know, that he's on 5 and he hasn't reached 7. I know Stephen Hendry will be rubbing his hands, but anyway, you know, of all the players and the ex-players, Stephen Hendry will be somewhat a little bit delighted. But we'd be all a bit disappointed, because we love to see Ronnie in the tournament. It's a lot of public that love to see him in it. He creates a wonderful buzz and atmosphere, and now that will be gone. But at the same time, the World Championships is the World Championship, and it will still have a great buzz. But you miss sort of Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Totally. And like, I mean, there's a real parallel with golf and Tiger Woods. The Masters is still the Masters, but when Tiger Woods is there, or when Ronnie O'Sullivan's at the Crucible, then it just seems to grab the public attention. Whatever star quality is, certain fellas have it.
Yeah, absolutely, and he has it in abundance. You know, he's been our sort of talisman for many, many years now, you know, and he's been carrying the mantle. But, you know, I still think, you know, not one player is bigger than any sport. Tiger Woods is not bigger than golf, even though we're all glued to it at the moment. Ronnie O'Sullivan is not bigger than snooker. The sport survives and it carries on. It finds new heroes and new icons.
Someone's just let me know that you can pre-order Ronnie O'Sullivan's new book, by the way. It's called Top of Your Game, Eating for Mind and Body. It will show you how to eat, think and work your way to being at your very best and staying there.
Okay, I'll be sure to get it.
Come here, Jackie Chan. I'm sure you've been asked about this about 3 billion times since.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell is going on here?
It was just a fantastic night. He had a great night. Yeah, I would have been there. A friend of mine knows him. I was over in there. On the way to Beijing, stopped in Hong Kong for a couple of days and got invited out for dinner and then for a bit of karaoke and by Jackie Chan. Couldn't believe it. And then a game of snooker as well. Showed him a few trick shots and he was absolutely delighted. He absolutely loves snooker, you know. And
Does he, yeah?
Had a fantastic night with him, yeah.
And did
Not
he know,
a bad singer either, by the way.
Is that right? What was his go-to karaoke song?
Oh, I don't know. It was some Chinese umber. I was trying to get the thing, Danny boy, but he wasn't having it. You know?
And was he enough? Was he enough of a snooker fan to know who you were, or just likes playing it? Or?
Yeah, yeah. No, he's like, welcome me in. Come, tell Ken to come and bring him and sit. He sat beside me. I sat beside him at his dinner and everything. And now he loves it, watches it all the time. And yeah, big snooker fan, you know, and loves every minute.
Like, I know you've been hanging out, you know, in the Old Trafford Players Lounge at times, but having dinner with Jackie Chan and him fanboying on you, that's unbelievable.
I know, yeah. He promised me a part in Rush Hour 4, so I'm waiting for the phone call.
I can see it now. You kill someone with a snooker cue and walk off into the sunset.
Yeah.
Jeez, that is one of the more random nights out of your life. Karaoke with Jackie
absolutely.
Chan.
Oh, it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Right, listen, I know you're probably mad busy, so we appreciate your time, Ken. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks, Joe. Take care.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.